to receive the kingdom, to receive the word of Jesus, there has to be love demonstrated. You know, one of the difficult things about the word of God, it comes with life, but it also can come like a knife, because it is a double-edged sword. It does cut through the bits and pieces in our lives that God is not pleased with, that needs to be dug out. And people have enough in the world to tell us all that we're just a load of rubbish. We don't need a God to say, we don't need to hear of a God that says, well, this is rubbish in your life, and frankly, I don't like it. We already know that. Most people know what's garbage in their life. Most people know. But what people do want to know, that if there is a God, is he real and does he care about me? And it says we love and we demonstrate that love in simple ways that people are touched. Now, we might not see heaps of fruit straight away, but as we continue to reach out, as we continue to sow love and to sow, to pray and to sow and to pray and to sow, we will see this place turned around. We will see the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ become the kingdoms of this world. That's how I think it works. You know, my favorite scripture I've shared with you because it's just passionate for me. It's the word of God to us in our season. Arise and shine, for your for the glory of God rises upon you. See darkness, thick darkness. We have heard of the thick darkness this morning with our brothers and sisters in Pakistan. This is reality for many of our Christian friends and brothers and sisters. It's thick darkness. And do you know what the Lord says? Arise and shine and just go into that darkness. Because the glory of God is on us. The light of the kingdom is over us. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of the nations. As we pray and go and sow, pray and sow and pray and sow, we will see it happen. It's just the faithfulness of doing it. In whatever way you and I can, whatever way God has gifted you and I can, we do it. Whatever way God has made us, we're all individuals, we're all different, we're all totally different. There are people that I can speak to and share and talk to and listen to and love in ways that there'll be people that you can do that I just would be hopeless, absolutely hopeless at doing. I think I shared the story here, I don't know if I have, about when we, in the ministry I used to work with before, we travelled up, it was an evangelistic ministry, we were going to join ministries, and we went into this prison, one of my first journeys into a prison ministry, and the chaplain there absolutely loved it. It was heaven for him to talk to these rough, tough, you know, tattooed guys who would kill someone, you know, just, you know, really, but really, really broken inside. I mean, that's the thing for most of these guys. And he loved it. He absolutely loved it. He couldn't think of it. It was heaven for him. He just couldn't think of anywhere else better to be. And I'm thinking, you have got to be kidding me. You know, I was thinking, you know, I'm a bit nervous about this. You know, these big island fellows, you know, these big hands like this, and hey, brother, I'm gonna lick my hand. You know, just it was a bit awkward. But he was about the same size as me. He was a skinny guy, he wasn't huge, but he loved this place. And anyway, we were chatting to him, and so, you know, somehow it came up about going into hospitals, and I talked about my parents having died in cancer, and I said, oh, yeah, I don't mind going to hospitals. I can cope with being in hospitals. I've had both my parents die. I've been around. I know what happens in people's hearts and what the grief they go through, the struggle it is. He says, it's not a problem. I said, I could happily, I don't know if I could cope now, but, you know, a few years ago, I would have been quite happy to be a hospital chaplain. And he recoiled back, and he said, no thanks, no way. There is no way I could cope with that. I just couldn't, no, there's no way I could do that. And for me, it was an amazing reminder how we're all different, and we have to let Jesus release us in the gifts and the people that we are to touch the people in the way we can touch him. Touch them. Them. You understand? I mean, I'm probably saying stuff I've already said before. I just want to pick up about yesterday. We did something yesterday. It was a launch. We went on saying, we're here. But the people were touched. People received love, and even if it was just a small amount. Who knows what God can do with that seed? We don't know. We just don't know. There's that parable in the Gospels. Yeah, did I find it? The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. He goes to bed at night, gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. Ours is to sow the seeds of his word and his love, and to get into people's hearts, to open up, to plow the fallow ground, you know, the hard ground that isn't receiving or hasn't heard the word. It's love, it's love, it's love, it's love. And whatever way we do it, that's what we need to do. However, alongside that, we also need to carry the power of the kingdom. Because I am convinced, I am really, really convinced, the major way we will break through in today's world is through miracles, signs and wonders. And I want to encourage us all as a congregation to pursue him. It's not the signs and wonders. The signs and wonders will flow if we're pursuing him, if we're hungry for his presence, if he's the goal, if he's the purpose for our lives, if our eyes are fixed on him, if our eyes are watching him and our hearts are towards heaven, he will flow through us. And this is probably a broken record. I mean, I don't know how often I rave on about this, but I want to rave on again this morning just to encourage us again. I want to just go quickly to make it slightly bigger than Zechariah chapter 3, verse 6. This is Zechariah, prophet Zechariah, who was speaking to the people of God who had returned back. They'd been away in exile, been taken in exile by the Babylonians, and they'd come back to Jerusalem, and they were wanting to build the temple again, you know, the place of honor for God. They wanted to rebuild that place where God would come and dwell with them, they could meet with God and pray. And Zerubbabel, who was one of the priests at the time, interesting name, Zerubbabel. It means born in Babel, born in Babylon. Zerubbabel was not born in Jerusalem. He was not born in a place that was conducive to being a Jew. He was born on a foreign land. His name was Zerubbabel. And here he was brought out to be a priest of the Most High God. See, your background is diddly squat to God. He doesn't care. Well, no, that he does care. That, please not. He does care about our back. He does care what's happened to us. He wants to set us free. He wants to heal us. But in terms of what he calls us to, it's irrelevant. Our background does not, should not, ought not, does not get in the way of his purposes for us. Understand that? Please believe that. We must believe that. Now, we can struggle with things. By all means, God can get us saved, get prayer, all those things. It does not stop God. Don't let it stop you. We'll teach more on this. Is it, because our experiences in the past put thoughts in our brain that aren't from God. And we think the wrong thoughts. And we think it's God, but it's not. You know, just chatting to someone yesterday, they were saying, oh, you know, the man upstairs, you know, oh, he's given me a hard life. And I feel like saying, it's not him! You know, but, you know, it just probably wasn't the right place to do that. Because it's not him. God does not give us evil. End of story. He does not give us evil. It is in the world because we have sinned, and a door of evil has swept in upon this creation that he has made. It was the risk he took with us. Just the risk he took. But our eternal place was that valuable for him and for us that he took that risk. But that choice to love and trust is the most valuable thing that we have to offer God. It is what he made us for, a love-trust relationship. And that's the most precious thing that we all have to offer him. What do you, this is probably getting sidetracked, but what do you give someone who has everything? Love. Our love and our trust. Here, go and have $20. Right, you know. You go to a well, you know, you go to Bill Gates and says, oh, you know, I've got $10 here to give you. Well, ten quid. Yeah, hey, you must be impressed with this. And I've got $10. I didn't even buy ice creams that cheap. You know what I mean? Yeah, it doesn't impress people. You know, a few dollars or a few pounds, is not going to impress a wealthy man. You follow what I mean? God is not impressed by the things that we give him, because he owns it all anyway. What he wants is our hearts. He wants love and trust. That's what he made us for. It's a whole relationship. Is that? And that's absolutely valuable. Don't know where I was going with that, but in mind, we'll get back to where I think I was going to go. So, but in each of us is this gift that we can give him. and we can offer it to him. But Zechariah, verse 3, oh, I was talking about Zerubbabel, that's right, I got the background of Zerubbabel. Our backgrounds are relevant. And he says to Zerubbabel, go build this temple. Build the temple. The temple is the dwelling place of God. Remember I've said, when I was sharing my favorite passage of scripture about Jesus and the thieves, he said, my house should be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. And it was a house, remember my saying, you and I are the house where God, where the Holy Spirit wants to come in, put his feet up on the coffee table. Remember that? Because that's what he wants for us. We are his house. We are his temple. Just keep that in mind. All right? Zerubbabel, born out of this place, brought into the kingdom, he was to say, build the temple. And then the Lord says to him, Zerubbabel, don't stress. It's not by your might. It's not by your power or strength. It is by my spirit that these things will happen. Not by our strength. Not by our ability or by how much we can strain and strive to try and get things together, but it's by the Spirit of God. Even to love people in the simplest ways that God would want us to do requires His grace. On our best day, it is the grace of God that enables us to do it. Sorry, it is. You know, we often think, oh, I did so good there. You know, that was, I did really good. Well, actually, if the grace of God had been removed from you, you would have been hopeless. Do you know what I mean? So on even our very best day, it's the grace of God. On our worst day, the grace of God is there to lift us up and still add to what we did. It's the grace of God. Whew, what a great thing. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And then he says, what are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain. And he will bring forth the top stone of the temple, you know, the one that done, finished, shouting, grace to it! Grace to it! What's he saying? Zerubbabel, before you, looks like a huge mountain that you've got to shift. You've got a big job to do. You've got something that's beyond you to do. But dude, I'm with you. My power is going to help you achieve this, and you're going to put that last stone up on the top of that building, and you're going to say grace to it. It was all by the grace of God. It was all by the power of God. It was so much fun. It was hard work at times, but it was fun. And this is what we do. And by the grace of God and by His power, one day we will say to the city, grace to it. Will we say to the city, grace to it now? But it's by the power in the Spirit of God that we will achieve these things. Amen? Can I hear an amen on that? Yeah. Are you excited?
Yeah.
I wanted to try to find a few other. Let me just go through very quickly. Who can remember the story of Moses when he was, you all remember the story of Moses, I can't find where the scripture is. But there was a time when Moses, you know, was finding, this is too much to do, I've got to get some other people. So he was told to get 70 elders from the, you know, and different ones from the tribes, and he grabbed them and said, come and meet at this temple, and the Lord is going to put some of the spirit that's on me, that's on you. And so what happened on the appropriate day, they turned up, and boom, they all started prophesying. I mean, I don't know if they were speaking in tongues or what was happening, but it sounded like a pretty wild time to me. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, stuff happens. And I thought, wow, this sounds pretty, you know, interesting. Now, the interesting thing is two of those elders didn't make the meeting. They were supposed to be there, but they were stuck back in, you know, I guess they had, you know, some idiot people.
My wife done this to this. She's broken my something or other. The camel won't go. Can you come and sort this out? He's like, I've got to be at a meeting. What are you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this has happened, you know, but they weren't at the meeting. But the amazing thing was, where they should have been to receive the Spirit of God, it happened to them out in the camp. They got whacked by the Spirit of God away from where they should have been. They still got tonked because they were called. They were set apart for this purpose and they got zapped by the Spirit of God because they prophesied. And young Joshua comes running out to Moses. Oh, Moses, there's a couple, there's the people, they're out the camp and the Spirit of God's coming. And what do we do? This is terrible, catastrophe. And Moses said, Joshua, cool it. This is my version. He said, settle. He said, I would that all God's people were as I am. Not like Moses to be the leader, but as I am, because the context is carrying the anointing and the power of God to do what's necessary. I wish that all gods, are you worried about me for me that the glory's been stolen free? I wish everyone was like this. And then it says in the New Testament, that says, kings, I might be able to find it to you. Quickly flick to Luke. Luke. Have a Luke if you've got your Bible. Have a Luke in Luke if you've got your Bibles. Luke 10. Luke 10. I hope it's Luke 10. Yes. Verse 23. Luke 10, verse 3. Quick synopsis of what happens. Luke 10. It starts off, he said, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others. So this is not just the apostles or the disciples. They were named apostles even at that time. It was not just the 12. It was 70 others. I don't know who they were. Where did they come from? So he just managed to grab 70 other people who were following him. You know, there were crowds with him. 70 others, and he sent them out. And they came back so excited. They said, oh, even the demons, we spoke to those devils, and they just fled at your name. Oh, it was so exciting. It was awesome. You know, you can imagine it. I would be. First mission trip, seeing all this stuff. It's awesome, isn't it? When you go to another country first time, you see God do all this stuff. Yep. Boom! You think, oh, you should have seen it. We saw miracles. Anyway, they came back excited. And the Lord said, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, nothing will injure you from the devil. Nothing will injure you. Injure you. I said injure you. Isn't that amazing? Same has been given to us. Wasn't just the 70. Their names are not even mentioned. But in Jesus' eyes, they were very important. And they were excited, and they came back excited. He said, nevertheless, do not rejoice this, but that spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. I won't go on that one. I want to go down further down. And then he says, that one will praise you, Lord. Blah, blah, blah. And then he turned to the disciples privately, and he said to them, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings wished to see the things which you see and did not see them, and to hear the things which you hear and did not hear them. What was it that Moses wished to see? What did he want to see? He wanted to see the people of God carrying the presence of God in their hearts. He wanted to see every one of God's people filled with the power of God, filled with the presence of God, be able to do the things that Moses was doing. Just imagine 3 million people released on the earth who could stand before water and say, open up, and the water parts. That would be amazing. I still think that's amazing anyway. Do you follow what I mean? That's what they long for. You know the prophecy of Joel, don't you? You know the, in those days I will pour out my spirit upon young people and old people. The Apostle Peter quoted it at Pentecost. Joel saw it. There's Jeremiah says, Jeremiah and Ezekiel both says something like, please don't quote me on this, we have to look, I will find the scriptures somewhere. I don't want to go to them. But it says, I will take out your heart of flesh and put a new heart in you. I will put my spirit on you. These great men of God of old, these people, Isaiah, it will come a day when you, what's the quote? Never mind, I can't, there's lots of things. Well, Isaiah prophesies of the day when the Spirit of God and the signs and wonders, you will pray that the eyes of the blind will be open, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk. Prophesied back in those times. These prophets heard about it. They saw it in the future, never experienced. Their passion was, and Jesus said, kings and great men of old longed for this day and never saw it. But you people are in it now. This is what they long to see. It was their heart. God, you've prophesied. This is what we see. We'd love to see this. Never mind, we're going to die before we get there. But, oh, Lord. I wonder if they're in heaven now looking down and think, we saw this, guys, long before you even knew it was going to happen, long before you were born. I want to see what you're going to do with it. Oh, sure. Today is the day that this longs for. The kingdom in our hearts. The kingdom carries the point, it's the purpose of God. That His kingdom lives in us. His kingdom flows through us. We take every opportunity to love and to pray and to love for people, for each other. This is why, I didn't do it this morning because I didn't feel it was appropriate. This is why in the mornings when we're praying for each other, I'll get us into groups and I say, just pray for each other. I want us to learn to begin to pray for people. Not, I don't want you to feel that you have to come up the front to receive prayer. Because that gives the impression, oh, the anointing's carried by whoever and whatever's up the front. Nah. Sometimes it's appropriate. But the better thing is if we all learn to pray for each other. I love what Bill Johnson says. He says, nothing's about just pray. He says, give me your best prayer. And I thought, well, that's the most freeing thing I've ever heard. That freed me up. Because you kind of feel, you know, oh, these hot shots up the front, you know, they pray such powerful prayers. I can't pray prayers like that. Well, do you think God's limited by what comes out our mouth? It's what's in here that he responds to. It's not necessarily what comes out our mouth or the words that we've got fumblingly coming out of our mouth. If in our heart we know that Jesus is Lord and we've got this passion, it's passion God responds to. It's passion that he wants to see in our hearts. Oh, well, I might pray for you. Oh, what a nice day outside, isn't it? You know, oh yeah, God bless you. The funny thing is he probably would heal someone like you. You'd be going, oh my, what happened? Just to remind us, you know what I mean? But it's passion he responds to. The issue is passion. If we haven't got it, we've got to ask for it. It's passion. If we're dry inside, get filled up. Get filled up. I believe in encounters with the Lord. I'm very passionate about us having encounters with the Lord. I'll tell you why. Listen, I know the sermon's beginning to ramble all over the place, so we'll get back to a point in a minute. Are you still tracking with me?
Yeah.
I think I'm talking about the same thing, I hope. The reason I'm passionate about encounters, because encounters with the Lord, whatever way they come, when you read the scriptures like that, you have these moments where you think, oh God, I love this. What an awesome, awesome promise. I mean, I just spent 10 minutes, that's all I had, unfortunately, this morning, on just the passage in a psalm, just three verses. I couldn't let it go. I said, God, thank you. I just prayed and prayed. I said, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's an encounter for me with the Lord. It's an encounter. And you have an encounter with you in worship. So I love worship. And I'll preach on this on another sermon. But worship is absolutely vital to us as a community. I think it is the key thing that we're made for. To lift our hearts in praise to the King of Kings. That's why there's a book of praise. There's a whole book of it in the Bible. Now, we're not supposed to stop there. We're supposed to take or to walk in what we receive in those encounters and go in and love people and see people change and see the signs and wonders happen. We're not to build camps around those things. But they are vital to us. Encounters with God are vital. For this reason, they remind us of eternity. They remind us that there is someone else in this universe beside the rubbish that I'm having to fight through in life. Encounters with God are absolutely important, and I encourage people to get them. However way you get close to the Lord, do it. And it won't be a sinful way because he's not going to bless it. So don't worry about my preaching heresy here. You know, whatever enables you to get close to the Lord. For my wife, the best way is, and she's in England, but the best way for her, she just loves going to the beach and walking along beaches. She feels close to the Lord in those things. Well, that's what happens when you grow up in a country where beaches are right next to you all your time. So we have to pray for my wife that she can find another way to do it.
Burning beaches.
Burning beaches. There you are, honeys. Burning beaches. Not quite the same, but it's beaches. But you follow what I mean. There are different ways that we contact. I love singing worship. I'll stop and just let the words wash over. I love that song that Kerry and Mick sang to us this morning. I just let it wash over me. This is how I get encounters with the Lord. And I try and stay in it as long as I can. Do you know, when you get in the presence of God, one of the worst things that happens, this is a slight deviation, is suddenly you get distracted with something you have to do. Does anyone have this? You have to resist that because it's someone else. It's the world, it's the flesh, it's the devil wanting to, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to this pop into your mind. And we have to push through. The more we can push through that, the closer we will get to the Lord, the more we will receive from him directly, the more we will receive the revelation and the strength to do the things that we want to do. Because as we begin to move in signs and wonders, We have to have that connection. We have to have that connection. Because without it, when things don't happen, we'll be shattered. Because we'll think it's all about us. And it's not all about us. You know, the difficulty is when you pray for people who are not healed, you know, you just want to give up. Well, it doesn't happen. Well, that's, I'm not wanting to sound callous here. It is a weight and a burden. What we need to do in those situations is not give up, but to go after him more. I don't understand this, Lord. I need more. I need more. I need more. I am not happy. I personally am not happy that people, wife, I've lost both my parents to cancer. I know God can heal cancer. I've seen God heal cancers through, not through my, you know what I mean? I've prayed for people and I've seen it happen. I am not happy when that happens. And personally, I want more from the Lord to be able to pray for that, because it's not, and just another deviation. I believe this. I really, really believe this. Nothing is impossible for God. It is a foundation thing that I stand on. Nothing is impossible for you. It gets me upset at the Lord sometimes because I know it's true. And the things that I'm praying for don't happen. And I go outside and I don't understand. I know nothing is impossible for you. And this didn't happen. But I do not change. Nothing is impossible. I just get upset at the Lord. Because I know it's true. I know because I know because I know. Yeah. You know, the funny thing, he doesn't always explain why it doesn't happen. He just gives me a scripture of some sort. Or he speaks to my heart. He puts peace in my heart. It's almost like he's saying, come on, there's more. Come on, come after me. Come after me. You know, but I won't lower that. I won't lower that. So, well, most things are, most things God can do. There's a few things that are impossible. No, nothing's impossible. It's what the Bible tells me. I believe it with all my heart, because actually, if I don't believe that, I've got nothing to stand on. I've actually got nothing to stand on to build my life on. Nothing is impossible for God. End of story. The other issues surrounded are a different thing. Sometimes it's just plain mystery. I don't have a clue. That's why he calls us to love and to trust. Second point on that, this place is not my home. Heaven is my goal. That's where we're headed. That's where he's taking all of us. I'm only on this world for 80 years. Well, I'm running out of that now real quick. You know, I haven't got too many left. But this is not my home. Heaven is. And we must, especially in the West, where we have things very easy and comfortable. I like comfort, but it's not the kingdom. I don't know that Jesus said, I have come to bring you nice armchairs to relax in every day. That's a blessing, that's a gift, it's ours, and I think he does want to give us those things. But that's not the end of the story. Comfort is one of our biggest dangers. The kingdom is not comfort. The kingdom is eternal life. The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Please hear me saying that God doesn't want us to have those things. At the same time, they can lull us into this, oh, you know, it's a bit hard to do anything for God today. You know, I don't know if I want it. This happened to me once. There's a call on our lives, and we got our house. It was paid off, all paid off, back in New Zealand. And I was enjoying sitting on my nice couch. It was, you know, big basement. So, and I actually used to enjoy sitting on my nice new couch with my feet up and looking out on there and relaxing. Good job. It was everything was ticking over nicely, and I kind of like that, because previously to that, we knew we had this call to go into the nations, and and suddenly we felt like these doors were opening up to go onto the Doulos, which is Operation Mobilization. They got these ships, mercy ships mercy ships is YWAM. Anyway, they have these ships that travel around the world going to ports, and we thought we'd go down and visit it, and we go for a walk through, chatting to a couple of people and telling us what they, and they said, oh, you should meet such and such. So next minute, we're being introduced to all these people on this boat. Next minute, we're being invited back to the boat to come and have meals. Well, this is very rare. It doesn't happen. They don't do that for everyone. And then we're meeting the captain of the ship, and we're meeting other people who said, well, we think you should apply. Usually, you know, we need people like you to help us with our discipleship and our training of our people. So the only sticking point was they're a family, and they tended not, the family places were kept for the crew. You know, they had to have engineers. They had to have all those people to run the ship. They were paid people. And they said they get, but if there's a spare family thing, then there's a chance you... So all these doors were suddenly opening. So we were pursuing it, feeling, right, we're ready, we can move out, we can bring the boys with us, we can teach, you know, da-da-da. It was all go. It sounded exciting, sounded like us, sounded like we want to do. All the things were lined up. Suddenly, the last minute door closed. And I thought, oh, that's a shame. My wife says in her heart, Lord, if it's not this, what is it? I say in my heart, oh, well, never mind, didn't happen. I'm going to sit back and enjoy. Mm-hmm. Comfort. And I enjoyed that comfort for about 3 months until I read this stupid little thing in a daily devotional that talked about Paul only living for one thing, to live for the Lord and to finish the course he had been given. And the guy made this little comment at the bottom. That was all Paul cared to do. That was the only thing he wanted to live for. And I felt the Lord say to me, Ian, you've ignored your call. You've put my call in your life aside. Do you know, it was like a knife in my heart. I think I went and sat on the bed and I cried for 3 hours, just tears pouring down my eyes. I said, God, I'm so sorry. 3 hours, just because I'd put his call. The greatest thing that you can ever possess is a call from the Lord. It's something that he's made us for. I'm doing what I do. This is not boasting. I feel right now this is what I'm made to do. This is what I'm designed for. But if we ignore what God wants us to do, we're pushing aside his purpose and his design for our lives. For comfort. For worldly Western comfort, which is great to enjoy, but don't let it become the focus of our lives. Because he supplies all the power. We're called to touch this, to take this city for the Lord, along with all the other Christian brothers and sisters. You know, it's not just about us, it's about all of... Boy, just imagine if every church in this city rises up in the power and glory of Jesus, this city will be doomed. No good sense. You know, this is our call. Like Zerubbabel, to say, don't be afraid of this mountain. Looks like a mountain to us, but to God it is not a mountain. To God it is nothing. We have to see from his perspective. See, we made a start. Pray in love. Pray in love. Pray in love. I want us I'd like to see us do more prayer walks through this area to break open things. We've started. Something's happened. Every seed sown, every seed of love, everything that happens is the Lord can use and break forward to and break open this place. Don't be discouraged when it doesn't seem to be happening. Something bigger is happening than we understand. We pray and we sow. We sow and we pray and sow. The fruit's his. He makes it grow. He's the one that causes the growth. Amen?